minutes of this.
Yeah.
Woo.
48 minutes of this.
I got bored.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up. So it's the After Hope Minute Podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
With very special guest,
Jim.
Yay! Yay!
We had things to talk about with Jim, so we decided, why don't we just have Jim stay?
So we kept him as a hostage.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
A hostage. Hostage.
Yeah.
You know, I went down to the post office to get a hostage stamp.
Which is like a regular postage stamp, but it's made with a cupcake.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The hostage with the mostage?
That sounds
I'll host your
bodily. Huh. All right.
Hey, Jim, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yep.
Welcome.
Are you regretting this things yet?
Oh. No, not yet.
May have regretted it before you even started.
How about we drink?
Yeah, we're talking into more Blake's Hard Cider. I've got a Grizzly Pear, and you two have ones that I don't think we've tried on this podcast yet.
Flannel Mouth? I thought Flannel Salsa mouth. Tried this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I tried the Flannel
time.
Mouth.
Oh.
Yeah.
I also have a Perry, because I like Perry.
I don't like Perry.
Pear is okay.
No!
I like Pear a dot.
It foamed at me.
Oh, that's... Jesus.
Okay, one of those pipes is for breathing.
First day with a new mouth?
First day with a flannel mouth.
With a flannel mouth. Yes! Oh, my God.
Fuck.
Oh, God.
I feel like I don't have enough flannel in my life right now.
Well,
you're about to.
You're about to.
Yeah.
So, yep, this is cider, and I'm drinking it.
All right, now that we're drinking, we're all prettier.
Huh.
That's how that works, right?
She said with snot coming out of her nose because she inhaled cider. Cider foam.
Is that snot, or are you just...
Full. God damn it.
It's real good. By good, I mean disgusting. All right.
Yeah. Disgusting.
Your face is disgusting.
Oh,
I mean, disgusting to some, I'm sure, yeah.
Oh, how about we move things along? I went camping.
Yay, camping.
I went camping this weekend.
Yeah?
Nice one.
Along with my wife and children and sister-in-law and her family. Up to Itasca State Park, the headwaters of the Mississippi River. This is the second year in a row that we have gone there. Because my wife's sister and her husband have never been. And so we were like, you need to come see this, because this is like a quintessential Minnesota thing.
I've never done it.
Yep, I've done it once. That was enough.
I don't think I've been to Itasca.
I mean, I used to live in Itasca County, but that's not quite the same thing.
No.
So, Salsa, did you do the I'm on the left side, I'm on the right side men in tights thing at the head?
Kind
headwares?
Of. Here's the thing. Last time, last year.
At some point, he's going to finish all nine of those sentences.
No, I won't.
Don't do that while I'm trying to drink. Damn it.
Do other things when she's trying to drink.
No.
Last
don't
year,
do anything while I'm drinking.
Last year, we went to the headwaters, and the thing is like the actual like barrier, the boundary between the lake and the river is like
it's good to have a barrier during the headwaters.
It's like this pile of rocks, you know, this wall of rocks that the water floods over. Okay, and just on the river side of it, that kind of forms a little pool, you know, with a sandy bottom. Mm-hmm. It's about a foot deep, you know. A couple feet deep in the middle. And that's like the beginning of the river. And the thing is this little pebble beach, you know, little pool is where everybody like splashes around and lays in the water and plays, and the kids, you know, put on their swimsuits and they play in the water. And it's a grand fun. But the thing is because we were playing in this pool, you know, we left and we were like going home, and I was like, I never actually crossed the boundary, and now I feel like I missed something.
Aww.
You know, like we just did the little pool at the beginning, but I never actually did this. So this time around I was like, okay, this time I have to walk across the rocks across to, you know, to cross the river, and then I had to go across the wall, you know, from the lake into the river and back and forth with the kids, you know, and really letting the kids know that, hey, guess what, you're in the lake and now you're in the river. It's pretty cool, you know. And the kids were loving it. The kids had such a great time. So I made sure to do it this time around.
Yes. Okay, good.
Time. But yes, I absolutely did the super touristy thing of I'm in the lake, I'm in the river, quite a number of times. It was like that lakeside gets deep real fast.
Yeah.
Very fast. It goes, you know, like one step forward drops about 6 inches.
Yeah. Just,
So yeah, it was a lot of fun, and the kids had a grand old time. And then my son had a meltdown, and we ended up leaving my swimsuit and his water shoes and his goggles sitting on top of one of those crush a penny into a souvenir machines up at Lake Itasca. Yeah. So they're now officially a part of the rich history of Lake Itasca.
Somebody's going to make them into a crushed penny.
Yep. Apparently that's what's going to happen.
Crush penny!
So my son has a new swimsuit now.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Because that one's gone. So anyway, yeah, that's what we did. And it was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
We, we had Dutch oven lasagna cooked over a campfire.
Fuck.
Which, if you've never had, fuck me.
No.
Holy balls.
I haven't, and I'm not gonna.
No.
I mean, even if you...
Okay, also, Dutch oven lasagna seems like a really weird sex act.
Yes. It really does.
It really doesn't if you've eaten Dutch oven lasagna, because my God, there was so much of it. Like, there's six of us, and we couldn't finish
like
half of it.
It's like a fart cabinet, right?
I'm cramping right now just thinking of all of that cheese.
Also
I'm
that.
Just like, oh, buddy. Yeah. Oh, God. But it does sound amazing.
And then Dutch oven pizzas the next night.
I'm going to interrupt for a second on the topic of lasagna. Joe asked me once. He was like, "So, let's say you're going to die, and you want to have a meal. Like, it doesn't matter what you eat because you're about to die, and right. So yeah. Fuck it. What is that meal?" And I was like, "Lasagna, straight up lasagna."
Huh.
Because there are a lot of substitutes for everything else that I can't eat, or there are things that I don't particularly care for. I miss cheese, and you cannot make a good fake cheese, and you cannot make... And you can kind of do melty cheese, fake cheese on a pizza. You can't... Lasagna, there is no way.
Yeah.
So lasagna. Mm-hmm. Lasagna is that final meal.
Mm.
And now
the
answer has changed.
And then they strap you
into
the electric chair.
And now the answer has changed to... Dutch oven lasagna.
Yeah, fair enough. Strap you into the electric chair, and all of that gas turns her into a tiny red-headed grenade.
I'm going to straight up Garfield that shit.
Yeah.
You and I have read very different Garfield comics. was he put into an electric chair at some point?
Did you miss that one?
I must have.
You've read the existentialist John...
Yes.
One, right? Oh my God! Garfield minus Garfield is incredible.
It's real fucking good
and so creepy. Good. It's mildly creepy.
Yeah.
And really depressing and sad.
Yeah, aww. I like it.
Oh, so God.
I also like Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows, though.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just needed to interrupt for the lasagna.
No, that's quite all right. No. But my wife, which I mentioned a couple episodes ago, maybe. Got into an accident and totaled her car. We had to have her sister and them tow our trailer up to the lake and back. And they were more than happy to do it, but it was just like, I know you guys are going to be in a tent and we're going to be in the camper, but could you take the camper up there?
Awkward.
But they also brought their canoe, and we went canoeing.
Aww.
And they put the kids in their canoe, and then my wife and I were in kayaks.
Neat.
My brother-in-law at one point he was like, "So we're the we're the destroyer, and you two are the battleships." Because we were in the kayaks zooming around them.
Oh yeah,
like, yep,
B5.
No, now I can't get this out of my head.
J7.
It was a lot of fun. Just going camping for 4 days because we left on Thursday.
Okay,
and we didn't come back until Sunday. And
nice.
Yep. By the time we got back, the kids were melting down.
Yeah.
I believe all of this.
I can imagine.
Yeah. It was also super exciting on the drive up, because we had to stop in the emergency room.
Sure.
We were, like, 45 minutes away from Lake Itasca, and my son had been complaining about stomach pains for the past day and a half. And was complaining that it had moved to his right side.
Oh, God.
And we were like, fuck. So we went to the emergency room and had him checked out. And I tell you what, trying to get an IV into a four-year-old is...
Oh, God.
The literal worst.
Mm-hmm. Did they have to put the board on?
No. Like, No, we didn't do that. Like, first they just did a blood draw.
Yeah.
And he wasn't too terribly happy about that, but then trying to get the IV into him was not. Because they took a CAT scan of him, and,
right.
You know, like, they were doing all sorts of tests, because his... They were like, he didn't have any... Like, his white cell count was fine.
Okay.
But they did say that his, like, urine was full of, like, of inflammation markers and stuff like that. So we're just like... So they did the CAT scan, and they finally checked it out, and thankfully it was not appendicitis. He just had really bad constipation.
Yep.
So while we're camping, we're giving him milk of magnesia.
And then just holding him over the lake and squeezing gently.
Not the lake. People the lake. Share that. Yeah. Jesus Christ, James.
Poor kid.
I'm so glad you don't have
Lake
children.
Minnetonka, 175 people getting sick from E. coli.
Hey, he had a rough go of it, but he finally got that out and felt better. But it was just like, we're you know, 3 hours away from home, and we're in an ER, and like I said, our brother and sister have got the camper and are like setting it up for us. We've got my daughter.
Oh, sure.
Who is just turned 6, who is getting fucking brain dead in this hospital.
Yeah.
And we're like, if we have to stay here for a day or so while Asher's getting like surgery or something like that, we don't want to leave her here. So like, they came and got my daughter and brought her up there so that she could at least not
have
be stuck.
Stuck in the hospital. No, that's fair.
Flip.
And in order to do that again, they had to set up the camper so she had a place to sleep.
Yeah,
you know, something like that. So it was, we felt really and they were obviously sweet about it, but it was just
they're nice kids.
This moment of this is the worst possible.
Right.
And Asher's going to have a fantastic story to tell later, but man, at the time, he did not like that IV at all. He felt real betrayed.
Oh, God.
Real betrayed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Jessa had that once where she was, I think, 3. And, like, she just woke up in pain, screaming to high heaven. And, like, she was in so much pain, so I brought her to the hospital, which was just down the road.
Yeah.
And we go and we get checked in, and then she's like, I need a potty. And, like, yep, that's basically the most expensive shit she ever took.
Yeah.
Like, it was just...
I'm not looking forward to the bill that we're going to get.
I had a similar experience. It was about a week before my family was supposed to go up to Lake Superior to... my parents' friend's cabin.
Yeah.
Came in and I was like, I think I have appendicitis. And they were like, you're 12. No, you don't. Like, you probably just have some gas. You know, we're going to go for a late night walk, you know. Walked around, all that kind of stuff. And I was like, no, it really hurts. It doesn't feel like gas. It really hurts. So... they waited for a little while, but eventually they took me into the doctor, and the doctor was like, well, you know, we'll keep him overnight for observation because, you know, there's not really anything conclusive, but, you know, these things kind of go quickly, and if he does have appendicitis, it would be good to have him in for surgery tomorrow. Sure enough, they came to check on me in, like, 6 a.m., and I was in for surgery at 10.
Yep.
My appendix was ready.
Oh, God.
Like, fucking...
It was done?
It was, the little turkey timer had popped out and everything. Like, it was fucking good to go. And then I spent a day or two in the hospital convalescing, because it was before laparoscopy.
Oh, God.
So they had to do, like, the major invasive incision. And then And then released me to go camping with my family. After which I went to youth camp, you know, and the doctor was like, okay, but no swimming. And I was like, okay, but...
Then what's the point?
Yes, yeah. Swimming? It's a pool, you know? And the doctor was like, no swimming. And I got there, and they were like, do you have restrictions on things? And I was like,
no.
I shouldn't get these... wet? Maybe? but I can take a shower, so I feel like going in the pool is fine.
Oh my god. Geez.
Yeah, no, I went swimming. Apparently, like, it could have split open or, you know, yeah, like, mm-hmm. all of my insides come out.
And then they'd have to drain that whole fucking pool.
Also that, but like...
God. Well, at least he didn't shit in it.
There's that.
Yeah.
Hi.
But also, like, swimming at summer camp.
Yeah,
no, I agree. Didn't know, you know.
I agree. Nah, I would have done the same thing at 12.
Yeah,
I
so.
Wouldn't have.
No, my story is more of at 3 years old, I split open the corner of my mouth on something.
Oh, God.
And so God, they like brought me into fears. Brought me into the doctor's office, and of course, I am out of my mind. So screaming, and so they put me in the full board, like all the way, immobilized down, head, yeah. everything. So I did get back at the doctor.
Mm.
I bit his finger that he put in my mouth, because that's the only thing I could do.
Right.
And he came out and told my parents about it, and it's like, it's my fault, I put it in there. And
I should have known that your child was rabid.
Yeah.
Right. Like, mm-hmm. obviously, because well, you had to strap him to a board.
Right.
At and that point, you should know.
There is that.
There were warning signs.
I just realized that I've apparently been destined for a life of sideshow since I was a kid. I have a scar on my tongue from the time I almost bit it off. But when I got to the hospital, before the doctor sewed me up...
Hmm.
He brought me into the bathroom, and he was like, do you want to look at it? And I was like, uh-huh. So I'm standing in front of a mirror with blood just coming, just dripping out of my mouth. That'd be cool. I was like six.
Mm.
Right.
Maybe. And just sitting in the mirror like, whoa, this is really cool. And then he stitched up my tongue. And I apparently sat there like a champ. Hmm. Like, just the I mean, what else? How much more is it going to hurt? I almost bit my
there's
tongue off.
There's that.
Right.
So. Of all the injuries that my sister has had, there's only one that she's had that really freaked my dad out, where he couldn't manage it, and he had to, like, leave the room. Because he was a first responder, and he was in the military. He saw people get grievously injured and all of that business.
Different when it's your kid, though.
It is. They were making something in the kitchen, and she just, like, sliced her finger almost clean to the bone.
Right.
Right? And he's like, all right, I'm going to go get the kit, and, like, we're going to get you. I'm going to bandage this up. I'm going to get you to the hospital. They're going to put stitches in it. You know, and just, like, business as usual. First responder, locked in that mode. And then she points it at him and starts making a little mouth puppet thing with it. And she's like, yeah, that seems like a good idea, Dad. We should get to the hospital right away.
It's a finger puppet.
And he just went, no. Stop. Oh, God, I gotta get out of here.
It's a fucking finger puppet.
It's a literal finger puppet.
He like walked out of there. He was shaking and bloodless, like just pallid and just like, Mary, talking to my mom, I was like, Mary, I need you to go and get my bag from, oh, Jesus. Yeah, and like he got himself back into the headspace that he needed, but it shook him.
My father sliced off the tip of his right ring finger.
Yeah.
Like at the knuckle. at the first knuckle, just the first joint.
Mm-hmm.
But it was such a clean cut and it was so fast and it sliced through the nerve that he didn't even realize that it had been almost set. It was holding on by a flap of skin. The only reason he noticed is because of the spurt of blood. He was like, oh, I should go to the hospital. Yeah. But it was
there's a shock factor that happens too.
Also,
like
that.
I closed my fingers into a car door once, and I didn't notice until I tried to walk away, and I couldn't because there were my fingers in the car door.
Yeah, I got
this. The worst part about that one though is that it didn't open from the outside, so I couldn't just open it right away. I had to go, mom, open the door, open the door, open the door, open the door. Like, she's like, well, why? What do you need? And I'm
just
like,
fucking do it.
Fucking open the goddamn door. My fingers are stuck. And she's like, why didn't you say so? I'm like, now's not the time to place a blame. Like, fucking A.
Just do the
when your child is panickedly asking you to open the goddamn door, open the goddamn door. Anyway.
Yeah. Yep. Well, there's that.
Yeah.
Well, this dissolved into horrible injury.
My mom,
yes. Well, that was
I'm okay too. With it, but...
My mom was never good with injuries except for one. And that was, she was watching my sister and me. We were at the park reserve.
Mm-hmm.
They had the giant playground where there are, like, when I was growing up, like 5,000 different ways to have a permanent injury on that thing. Mm-hmm. And we loved it, of course, because... kids. And my sister convinces her that we should get on the zip line.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm.
Which is a platform and then this shallow valley down to rope netting that looks like a spider web. So you zip down.
With an actual zipper.
Let go of the handle and grab onto the net, climb down, grab the rope at the bottom of the zipline handle, and then drag it back up the hill for the next person.
Mm-hmm.
First time went real well. My mom was like, okay, he can go, but he's real young, and that thing is real high up, and I just want you to watch him carefully, please. We went down, no problems, ran back to mom, like, oh, it was so much fun. Can we please just one more time? And she's like, fine. Just fine. And I feel so bad that we convinced her. Because, some helpful stranger was like, here, you probably want to go up on the high handle and not just the rope. Lifts me up. I grab onto the metal handle, onto the metal bar. So I'm like 8 feet above the ground.
Oh, Jesus.
And then just... boom, gives me a little extra, like, whoof. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, it super fast. And then I'm like, okay, it's going to be so far dragging this back up. And I got to go to the bathroom. So I'm just going to. So I let go of the fucking handle and biff it at speed. I broke my leg in two places. The park ranger came by and was like, no, he's fine. Kids are weenies. Like, jiggles my leg. And my mom is like, he cries, but not like that. So, she handled it really well. Cause usually
don't tell
she,
me what my kid's
she, like,
about.
Yeah. She panics, especially if there's blood or, like, screaming. And, but this time she was like, she just, like, bundled me up in her arms, into the car, drove carefully to the hospital. Yeah. And they were like, yeah, your kid's leg is real fucking broken. So, thanks for bringing him in. We'll put it in a cast. And then, you know... 5 minutes, your fries are done. Yeah, so...
Ding.
Yeah, my mother is very squeamish, but if one of her kids is in danger, she is in mama bear mode.
Yeah.
And
she that's...
will bandage you up and get you to the hospital and everything, and as soon as you are in someone else's control, somebody else is in charge, she needs to go fucking lay down, because she will pass the fuck out. Uh-huh. But, yeah, no, that adrenaline... paternal, you know,
it was
that's a big thing.
It was so weird because, like, I would fall down and like bonk my head on something, and one of my baby teeth would pop out or something, and she would like just start hyperventilating and screaming. But like that is one thing that I remember where she was just like, "Fuck you, park ranger, we're going," you know, just on top of shit. So yeah,
those zip lines are dangerous. I broke my arm on one, so yeah,
yeah.
But that's what we did back then. Hey.
Yeah. That's
it gave me a healthy fear of...
Talking about my generation.
Lots of shit. After that, because my sister had never broken a bone, she was like, yeah, we're going to go ride our bikes down the steps. And I was like, you are. Get fucked. I'm not doing it. Yeah. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who else did something this weekend?
Many things.
Jessa had a birthday party.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
So did my daughter. They both got birthdays.
I had a birthday this weekend, too.
Wow. So.
Yay, happy birthday. Jessa had her party this weekend.
Okay. Uh-huh.
She had a, what'd she call it, a smash-tacular birthday? Mm-hmm. Smash Brothers. Super Smash Brothers.
Yep. For the speech.
Tournament, or...
Yes.
There were several different tournaments.
Nice.
Including a CPU bracket, which sounds stupid. Like, I was like, so CPUs are just going to fight each other? Is that what's happening?
Just computer against computer?
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
Like, everybody picked their own character.
So it was a betting thing.
A little.
Yeah, it became. Yeah. Well, Joe won $2, so surprise. Well,
there you go.
Yeah.
And then I took it, but you know, whatever.
Of course.
It was like, I didn't realize. I was like, oh, horse racing. This is what this is. Like, I don't actually.
Also, like some of the shit that we saw, I was just fucking on edge that entire.
Right.
Holy fuck.
I'm really sad that POC Kirby didn't win.
I also wanted POC Kirby to win.
Joe does a character because he can. he takes the Kirby character and changes the color of it to black, but it's got yellow eyes. So he's like, "This is my POC character. This is POC Kirby." I'm like, "All right, honey." He's like, "Yellow eyes. It's mine. It's Asian. POC Kirby." I'm like, "All right, sweetie."
He's a delicate flower.
It's no, he's not.
No. Pocky right now.
Pocky. Mm.
Aside from that, it was also the LAN party.
Your LAN thing this weekend.
Yeah, and every single time has some kind of. We have the permanent addition to our lexicon, which is "What are birds?" Because somebody just put that in as a thing during one of the games. It was like, answer this question, and somebody just typed, "What are birds?" And we couldn't stop fucking laughing at it. And now we're posting pictures from different internet places that are like, birds are surveillance drones. Like, just weird shit like that. Birds are not real.
I mean, they're not.
A picture of a pigeon still in a plastic bag, or like in a plastic bag, and someone's like, "The government forgot to unwrap this one." Yeah, yeah.
Oh god.
Yep. Just real dumb shit like that. But we had a fucking blast this weekend doing LAN things, and then I played Smash Bros.
Yeah.
At your daughter's party, it was really fun. Yeah.
I also did like a whole fuck ton of fringe work. Oh my god.
Mm-hmm.
I've started painting one of the set pieces for the Fringe show, and it looks pretty fucking good, you guys. I'm pretty goddamn happy. Like, I don't even have this particular piece assembled yet, and somebody came in and they're like, "Oh, that's what that is." And I was like, "Yes, I win." Just one piece of it lying on the ground, but painted, and just like, "Oh! Oh, I see what that's going to be." I'm like, yes, victory is mine.
Pick it up what you're laying down.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So, yeah. Did so much fringe work. Oh. You guys. Why am I doing two fringe shows? That's stupid.
Because you decided to scale it back?
I mean, kind of. Yeah. Although other years I was involved with several shows, but not... as heavily as I am this year with both of my productions. I don't know if it's actually scaling it back.
Just there's that.
Differently scaled.
It's just, you know, instead of five small ponds, I have two lakes.
Really, Jenna's always giving 200%. It's just divided in half this time. One of... I almost forgot. One of the games this weekend is...
It's not... It's not 5 times 20. It's 2 times 50 is what I'm doing. That's what it is.
Plus two plus one. No. But it wasn't two at the chandelier. It was two.
Plus one plus one, one plus two.
One plus two plus one plus one plus one, yeah. One of the games at the land that I want to recommend to people as a massive party game was called Genital Joust.
I was about to say it's not that kind of podcast, but it totally is.
It fucking is. Yeah. So keep going. Your character, I hesitate to call it that, but your character, your on-screen avatar, is a dick and balls with a little butthole.
Oh my god.
And like, the regular genital joust is, or genital jousting, is that you try to maneuver yourself into others. You put the head of your penis into, and it's all consensual. As a matter of fact, instead of press start to begin, it says press up to consent.
Oh, Jesus.
And so then you're just like a bunch of wrestling dicks on screen trying to have as much sex as possible. It's extremely graphic and very weird. And you unlock little outfits for them.
It's got a 9 out of 10 on stream. So
and it is real fucking fun. They have a couple of different modes that are all really amazing. We played that on the big screen, and it was extraordinary. I think you can play with up to like 10 fucking people. There's the all-you-can-eat mode where hot dogs fall from the sky and you try to grab them with your dick's butt. And if you accidentally Lady and the Tramp one of them, your dick's butts kiss. What? And a little heart appears. It's a lot. But it was real fun. It's very dumb, and it's inexpensive, so fucking go for it.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll take your word for it.
Online and local
Joe,
multiplayer. Yeah.
Because if there's anyone that I can think of that would enjoy this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm going to recommend the video game Genital Jousting. It's it's real weird and very fun.
Do we have a rating on this podcast?
It's been R forever.
Okay, good.
Right. Well, there you go.
That's awesome. Every word you said just made it sound worse and worse and less anything positive in any way, shape, or form.
Steam has some videos that you can see how the game plays
before you play it. Yeah.
It's.
Well, I messaged Joe, so yeah. I'm sure that's going to happen in my life at some point.
Gosh, I hope so, because it's...
If there is an individual I know of that would get into this for at least 5 seconds, it'd be Joe.
Yeah. It's...
I love my boyfriend. I know who he is.
Real, real good quality entertainment for grown-ups.
Good quality or...
Yeah.
Puerile comedy.
Puerile?
What did I say?
Puerile.
I can't word.
Puerile?
An Adobe hut in the shape of a dick.
Yeah, I can't word.
I think Puerile is where you go in the grocery store to get your fruit.
Puerile. Oh, just speaking of pear.
There you go.
Yeah. But,
okay.
I have a head cold and I've been drinking, so I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
Oh, good.
I'm a fan of this video game.
All right.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah, my big thing was finding Owl Kitty this week on Instagram. So this guy does special effects film work for a living.
Okay.
And he has a black cat, and he basically has put his black cat into major motion pictures.
Oh my god.
So, for example, there is John Wick with Owl Kitty. And Owl Kitty actually takes out one of the bad guys.
Nice.
There is one with Risky Business where Tom Cruise slides across the floor and stops. And then the cat comes after him and slides, then hits the door. because it's hardwood floors.
Yeah.
Oh.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah. And there's some outtakes for that one. But yeah. So, but they are incredible quality because this guy used actual green screening on the cat and working with the cat to do the different things.
Nice.
There's the behind the scenes of different ones that he's done.
Uh-huh.
But they're just incredible. I mean, you know, all these major motion pictures with
awesome.
Lord of the Rings, you know. There's one when your cat knows you're going to open up a can of food, and I can't remember which movie they took, but one of the medieval ones. And it was Jurassic Park. When the cat knows you're going to open up the can of cat food and replace the velociraptor with the black cat. So that turns around the corner, jumps up on the counter.
Real fucking funny. Yeah.
And that's delightful.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's like owl_kitty or something like that on Instagram. There's two or three.
All right.
But yeah. That was my fun this past week. Was seeing those and going, that is freaking hilarious.
Mm. I'm going to recommend to you Corridor Crew. They're a bunch of VFX artists who do really cool shit. One of the things that they did, the worst CG of all time, apparently, is from The Scorpion King, the Mummy 3. Legend of the Scorpion King or something like that. It's The Rock as a some kind of scorpion centaur
half
man.
Man, yeah.
Yeah,
it was bad.
Real fucking bad. They go over what makes it so bad, and then they do their best to fix it after the fact, which is kind of fucking incredible. Yeah, so you might be interested in that.
That might be interesting. What was that again?
Corridor Crew.
With C's?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure it wasn't too weird.
Legitimate question to ask when it comes to internet stuff.
All right.
But yeah.
Yeah. So.
I mean, I finished Game of Thrones.
Oh, fuck.
Wow.
Yep. I'm really good at suspending disbelief and buy-in and stuff, and some of the character assassination along the way, I was like, I can kind of see it, maybe, whatever. And then, Long Night, I didn't find that as bad as other people did, although I got to see the version where you can actually see it, so there's that. That probably helped. Well, I didn't think it was great, let's be clear, but I was like, this isn't, and I think part of it is just, so much was built up about how awful it is that by the time I got to it, I'm like,
Well, that's not
that bad, you guys. But I also got the,
And
the actual visual version of it.
Yeah, I didn't watch it right at the time it came out. I watched it later.
Right.
Yeah.
On that same day. And it was, I had no trouble with those things.
They had already
so.
Cleaned it up.
Well, it was the bandwidth issue and the, with the, what do they call it when they condense things on the internet?
Compression.
Compression of the video caused some issues with the dark scale when everybody was doing it at 8:00 at night or 7:00 at night, whatever. So the later times it didn't have to compress as much.
Better. All right. Yeah. However, the thing that just absolutely lost me, and I could not continue being generous with my suspension of disbelief anymore, was the horse. That fucking horse. I saw that episode. Joe and I go out to smoke, and I'm like, horse? What the fuck? Where the fuck? I don't even... What? He's like, well, I'm sure they thought it made for a pretty shot. I'm like, fucking horse? Like, that... Yeah. That's... I can't keep giving you guys brain pennies anymore. This is awful. I was having a good old time up until season 8. Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Like, I was even willing to... There were some things that I wasn't as happy about in season 7. I was like, whatever. But yeah, fucking horse. Horse. Fucking horse.
Mm-hmm.
And that is...
They made choices.
That is my spoiler-free fucking what? That's it. Horse. Done. Anyway, yeah. I'm angry
weird
about
they
it.
They would play a basketball game in the middle of Westeros.
There is no... If Air Bud has taught me anything, it is that there is no rule in the NBA against dogs or horses playing. Plus, it's really funny when they slip out on the wooden floor.
No.
Super waxy. You got to put them down right there.
Oh. Oh, God.
Like Stephen Wright talking about how he has a pony in his apartment, and he's like, sometimes his hooves slip on the tile, and it's really cute. He was involved in a bizarre electrolysis accident, and now all of the hair on his body is gone except for his tail, so I rent him out to Hare Krishna family picnics.
Okay, so anyway.
What is wrong with you?
The science is still out on it.
No, there is no science. This is just... Nope. Okay. All right.
Science.
Should we take a break?
I think we'd better have.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, we'll be back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com. And we're back. I'm Salsa.
Yeah, you are. You fucking asshole. Yep. I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Jim Lewis.
Yay!
And just a quick note, I won't be here for the next 2 weeks. I'm going to be out of country. So
if you notice a marked improvement in the podcast.
Oh, yeah. It's because I'm having a good time for once.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, all right.
I don't want to think about you having a good time, Salsa.
Thank you.
You know, that one's for me, not for you. So anyway.
Hey, Jim.
Yes.
You are here.
Yes, I am.
You are the managing director for Fearless Comedy Productions.
That I am.
What does that mean? What does a managing director do?
So, managing director, basically, I'm in charge of the money and making sure, like, bills are paid, taxes are filed.
All of the stuff that artists don't want to do.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Hmm. Yep. Yeah, it's been fun.
You're also good at, like, the legal stuff, too. Like, making sure that we're following legalities. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Stuff like
which
that.
Which artists also do not want to do.
No.
Yeah,
well, but can't we just use this copy of this thing over here?
Yep. I mean, you know, paying royalties, I believe strongly in, which I think all artists really, truly in their heart believe that the creators of art should get money for what they do.
Oh,
true.
Yeah.
Except Nickelback.
I will give you that.
You said artists.
Oh, damn.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody who listens to this podcast is like, I like Nickelback. Fuck these guys. And they're gone.
No, that's our listener. Don't get rid of that
person. Yeah.
So.
We only have so many.
So, yes, I deal with the legal stuff, conflict of interest, all of those things, you know, that other people don't want to deal with that are artists. That isn't marketing.
Yeah.
Because that's what I did before I became managing director. I was marketing director for about 18 months, a little less than 18 months. Jenna still has the record.
Yeah.
For the longest time as a managing or marketing director for Fearless. Director for Fearless.
18 and a half months.
Basically. I think it was, I mean, yeah, pretty close. Well, I'm like,
oh, none of my jokes should ever come true.
Quoting you out of context.
Yeah,
no,
that's
no,
just a standalone.
Yeah, that might be a shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
None of my jokes should ever come true.
Yeah. James Rabbit. I would wear that, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Let's get that in the AOL store.
Cool.
All right. So, yeah, managing director is basically just making sure that the company is doing the right things, following the right laws and rules, and making sure people are safe and have a great place to create art.
Yeah.
Yay!
Thank you.
Jim's a set builder for companies.
And sometimes for Fearless.
I got the joke.
Right? Okay.
I've actually built some sets for Fearless.
There you go.
Nice one, James.
Well said.
Hmm. So, Popeyes was a good choice, by the way.
What else do you do?
Outside of Fearless, is that what you're asking?
Or within Fearless, or
yeah.
Within, without,
so, with
the thing with...
So outside of Fearless, I actually, for a living, manage associations, professional associations. I'm a certified association executive. Had to take a wonderful test, 5 different books, you know, like Jesus. Adults do. I have to do 40 hours of professional education every 3 years to contain it. Oh,
only 40 hours, you poor baby.
Yeah, I know. Versus my certified media professional, which is only 25 hours every 5 years.
Oh, Jesus, fuck, I hate you.
Yeah, I know. So, So I manage that and also do events for different organizations in various levels, from just doing, you know, like their registration for something, to all the way from site selection to post-conference evaluations and everything in between.
Nice.
All right.
That's why doing stuff for Fearless is so easy.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Well,
weird.
It's sort of like professional association, but they're artists.
Mm.
Oh, gross.
You lost me.
Okay.
Yeah, you lost me at professional artist.
You lost me at professional.
Like professional artists.
You see, it's a metaphor.
Yeah.
What's a metaphor?
Not a pun.
Yes, but I don't understand.
But what is metaphor?
Salsa, who fucking hated me for an entire episode for making that same joke. Yep. All right.
That's because I said it.
And now it's a callback.
Yeah, exactly. Now it's highbrow comedy.
Oh my god. You guys, this isn't how comedy works at all.
Comedy. Our other shirt.
You should buy that shirt.
Actually, our other shirt. Yeah.
It's in the store right now.
I'm fucking looking forward to it.
One of the things that I like about Jim is that I'm currently producing a show for Fearless that goes up in a couple weeks.
Yes.
And I say, hey Jim, do I have money for this? And he says, yeah. And then I don't have to worry about that aspect of it. Huh. Jim's just
All right.
Yeah, we will have costumes. Hey.
We will have costumes. Ooh. We will have...
The actors don't have to be naked.
Right.
No,
but they can.
So
it is French.
That is accurate. I mean, CJ and I did have a conversation about one of the costumes and what we wanted to do about that particular costume. We decided to costume.
Yeah.
Anyway, it would have been a great character statement.
Lady Godiva is a Barbie held in the hand above a horse costume.
Yes.
Just a naked Barbie above a horse costume.
No. There's no Lady Godiva in my show.
Oh, okay.
Sorry to throw
you
off.
So what's in your show?
What is in my show? So I'm producing for Fearless Comedy Productions for the Minnesota Fringe Festival, Wilhelmina and Theodore's Exquisite Victorian Adventure.
That's a mouthful.
It really is.
Yeah.
You should try learning the title to your own show. It's great. that was an adventure. Well, because there were so many different titles that were originally tossed around for working title. And then by the time we got to an actual title, I couldn't remember what the fuck we called it anymore. I'm like,
Blue Harvest.
Oh God. But it is written by Duck Washington,
ooh,
Megan Slauson, and Eric Thompson.
Wait, I think I know those people. Are they in Fearless?
They are in Fearless.
What? This is clearly a coincidence of the highest order.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, if someone made sets too that was in Fearless for the show, I mean.
Well, helped.
Helped.
Build sets. If only.
Yeah. No, that doesn't sound interesting to me. Moving on.
Okay. So anyway, it was written by those three individuals. It has a cast of six, two of which are Fearless members.
Ooh.
Becky Schmidt. Mm-hmm. TM Becky Schmidt.
Little Becky?
Yeah, little Becky. And Mahmoud Hakima.
Awesome.
I know. Yes. And then we got Tim Uren.
Whoa.
Who is absolutely... I love working with Tim. Yes. He is so easy to work with.
He is. Yes.
And he's good. He's quality. He's just so easygoing and good. Like, you're like, hey, Tim, do this thing. And then he does it. And you're like, oh, I didn't have to convince you or anything. This is great. You just did the thing. Three people that I hadn't worked with before. I've got Audrey Perry, who has just moved back to Minnesota recently after doing some theater in New York. So that's fancy.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I have LaTanya, who is currently studying music and dance.
Mm.
I think primarily music. And hasn't done theater in like 2 years. Huh. So that was like, oh yeah, but it's like stage stuff. So we've been having fun with that. And then a young man named Kalen, who is 18, just graduated high school. But ended up going to an arts high school with a couple of other younger people that I know of through like Renaissance Festival other stuff like that.
Awesome.
And like apparently everybody else knows who this Kalen person was. And I'm just like, well, I hired him because he was right for the bid. But like it was one of those moments where I was like, you are old enough to sign your own fringe waiver, right? And he was. Audrey and Kalen play the titular characters.
Could use a titular.
I just love the word titular. Oh, God. Anyway, Wilhelmina and Theodore. Mm-hmm. And it is a Victorian take on Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
That is exquisite.
It is an exquisite adventure. And then I'm working with Jada Boulay is stage managing.
Mm-hmm.
Not Jada Poulet. Jada Boulay. They are two Jadas that are in the theater community that have exceptionally similar names.
Like Kyle Decker and Kyle Decker.
Right.
Hmm. Yeah.
But she's stage managing for me. I've worked with her before as a stage manager. She's fantastic.
Awesome.
We've got CJ Mantel is doing all of our costuming.
Fucking awesome.
I know, right? Yeah. She is so good.
She is so awesome.
And then there's some James asshole helping me build set stuff, so you know.
Sounds like a jerk.
Kind of is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does podcasts, so.
Yeah, oh God. I don't trust people that do podcasts.
I heard he puts ramps on shit. So. So there's that.
Did we even talk about that conversation on this podcast?
I have no idea.
So James and I are designing basically a stage door, but with a few more frills, right?
Yeah.
You're putting frills and, on a door?
Yes, actually.
Yes, actually. you'll see it, and you'll be like, oh, those frills totally belong on that door.
Is it taffeta?
I just write out the checks. I don't know what is going to happen. I just write out the checks.
Yes. Don't know if that makes it better or worse.
Creative expression, you know?
Yeah.
Let them do what they need to do.
Things that I appreciate about Jim. He just writes out the checks. So James and I are talking about how to build this stage door, basically. Yeah. And we are arguing on a specific point for about an hour.
Yes.
I think it was about an hour.
Probably
that we were
pretty
trying
close.
To figure out. And we realized at the end of it that we were saying the same thing with different words.
Yeah.
We've never done that before.
One of the words that I chose to try to
explain
it was like, well,
taffeta?
Almost like a ramp, and she's like, no, I'm not gonna put a fucking ramp. And I'm like, not actually, okay, ramp's bad. Okay, fucking, we tried drawing it. If we'd had like, I wanna say, $20 worth of Legos, we could have had this hammered out in 5 minutes.
Right. Yeah, it was so ridiculous. I'm like, so you mean like a base?
Yes.
Yeah, like a ramp. That's not a ramp. That's a base. There's no going up. There's no incline. It's just a fucking...
Yeah. And I was like, no going up. No, it's not.
A plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't incline, so it's not a ramp.
Right.
It's a plane.
Thank you, Salsa.
That was easy.
Thank you.
It doesn't fly?
Oh, my God.
It better. They've got a plane.
Nor do we plant.
James, I'm very amused by your arm right now.
Anyway,
that's where I keep my Vil jokes.
Yeah, okay. Oh, and it dropped.
Well, that makes sense because they're your Vil jokes. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. None of the other Vilifiers want me writing mine on their arms. So,
God, I can't yell at people for that anymore.
Well, there's that.
I mean, you can.
And I probably will. let's be real. Just going to show up to random Vil things.
What is going to happen at the Bear stage at 12:30 every day?
I don't know. It's not Vil's problem.
I think Tim's going to go out there and he's going to be like, what? Leave.
No, seriously, we're not joking. Nothing's happening here.
Go home. The movie's over. And then he walks off in his bathrobe.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's the first weekend.
A couple minutes later, come out and be like, no, seriously, it's not happened. No, go away.
Yeah. They'll probably put somebody that dances or tumbles or something like that on that stage. Mm-hmm.
Yep. If only we knew people who did that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We should go out there and just, like, make fart jokes. We could... Pun jam! We were talking about it last year.
There have been many people who have threatened to murder us.
Pun jam!
Yes, but if you're on stage, now it's a show.
Now
there's
an
obstacle.
I mean, this is how vilification tennis got its start.
Oh, literally. I'm well aware.
if pun jam becomes the next Vil, that would be kind of cool, actually.
That would be awful, and I'd cry a lot.
Exactly.
But we should do
that
it anyway.
That is exactly why it would be cool.
Because art.
You son of a bitch. Yep.
How do we feel about a break?
Okay, I thought we were going to do something quickly with five things in it.
You mean something fast?
No, something quick.
Like
how about speedily?
Like a rapid series of...
A rapid V.
Yes.
Five things?
A rapid array with quantity 4.
Ooh. Oh, that got extra nerdy. Pardon me while I push up my glasses. Good. We're all wearing glasses.
Yeah.
Yes.
Push.
And scene.
There we go.
Okay.
Oh,
are you ready?
Today's Fast Five comes to us from...
Fast Five.
Dennis.
Yay!
Zastera.
Thank you, Dennis.
Yay!
Are they asking if one of us has six fingers? What's with the accent? Oh, it's accent day. I forgot.
It's accent day.
Can you really say his name without saying
their
Zastera.
Name?
Their name.
Their
yeah,
name.
You're
actually
correct.
You can, but you mispronounce it. But
Zastera.
It is
Zastera.
Zastrovia.
You're a Zastrovia.
No, their last name is just one of those last names that you're just like, yeah, I have to say this in accent.
Well, yeah, I get
my
that.
My maiden name, people would say Zalar.
Yeah.
Because it just sounds cooler mm-hmm. that way. And I'm like, I mean, Zalar. You're right. That sounds cooler that way. You're wrong. That's not how you pronounce it. But
well, that
sure.
is how they pronounce it.
Well, okay,
that's not how they're supposed to.
Look, if we say
maybe it's a Z name thing.
But we say Tomson too. So
well, yeah, but we do that mostly because we're dicks.
Also, that anyway,
maybe we do all of these things because I mean, we're dicks.
We are dicks. I don't know that necessitates all of our actions, but I think some of our actions like, are specifically dickish.
Like, not every rectangle is a square.
Right, that. Thank you.
Perfect. Perfect.
But we're assholes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Not every rectangle is a square, but every podcaster is an asshole.
Huh. I mean...
Yeah, no, this makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, I'm going through the catalog.
Yeah.
Huh.
Okay.
Dennis says, the questions. Good evening, friends and comrades. Oh, first off, I want to tell Salsa that I'm disappointed in him for misidentifying my brother as a harbinger of Malort. And that is absolutely true. I was that was me. I fucked that one up.
Dick.
I'm so sorry. I'm apparently when it comes to Zastara, I fuck up a lot.
Zastara.
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 Zastara. Zastara. Zastara. Zastara. Okay, I'm good.
All right.
Anyway.
Well, now you have a theme song. Good job.
They are.
You all have to share it, though.
Yep, no,
excellent
no,
work,
is,
friend.
That
Dennis,
right
you put
there
a lot
is,
into this.
That right there is your new ringtone, by the way. Anyway, I know I had to find where I was on the...
out of five things.
Disappointed, misidentifying, but I am not unkind, and aww. Almost all is forgiven.
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun.
If there isn't a colorblind joke in this, I'm going to be really sad.
It probably is
lie.
All over the place. shall we proceed? Let us. Question number one. Tuesday, or... Friday.
Girl Friday.
Barring the fact that this podcast happens on a Tuesday, I kind of fucking hate Tuesdays. The only good things about Tuesdays for me are
leaving.
This podcast and tacos. But I can have tacos any fucking day. Fuck. Every day is Taco Tuesday if you want them.
That's yeah. true.
And it's not Monday, so...
No.
On Tuesday, but...
Yeah, but the thing is, like, when you... Monday, you're like, fucking Mondays, and people are like, oh, okay. But if you're like, sorry, it's not working, fucking Tuesdays, they're like...
Come on,
do your job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Friday is, you know, that's, you know, better for everything but buying cars. Because if you buy a car that was built on a Friday, it's more likely to have problems than it is if it's built on a Wednesday.
Oh, I suppose.
Oh, that makes way more sense than it should.
Huh.
God damn.
So even Tuesday cars are better than Friday cars.
That just reminds me of the movie Gung Ho.
Wow, you're going way back. You're
Holy
going.
Holy shit.
That's...
Were you born when that film came out?
Maybe.
I don't think so.
It's possible. If it was like 1980 something, yeah, pretty likely.
It's 81 and you weren't. Sucker.
I'm going with Tuesday because I would rather have two of something than a fried something.
That's interesting, but...
interesting. The Minnesota fuck you.
I disagree with your premise.
Yeah.
I mean, which is the general just as you. Good as the rest of... It's a fucking Fast Five.
No, I'm going to go with Friday because that's when I get my work-sanctioned massages.
Friday.
Maybe it's
Friday.
Like a
God damn it,
hamburger,
I was trying to
hamburger
that.
Today kind of a thing. Like, do you do you wait to purchase something when you get paid, like payday Friday, or do you buy it ahead on credit and like pay them Tuesday for a hamburger today?
It honestly depends on what I'm buying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do have very specifically like a. I have a credit card. The balance is always zero.
Huh.
I recently had to have a bunch of car work done.
Mm-hmm.
And I put that on my card, but then I paid it off, like, almost immediately.
Mm.
Because that's how I keep a credit card. Otherwise, I will go into bad credit zone. Like, that's just straight. I know me. If I put it off, nope.
I'm fighting my way back from a lot of that.
Yeah. Mm. Luckily, I've only got leftover credit from medical stuff left, but...
Huh.
That's it. That's where I'm at. So that's great. Mm-hmm. But I will not buy in advance anymore unless I already have the money in my bank to pay it off.
I think that's a really good idea for anything that isn't like a car,
right,
or a house.
House is the big thing.
Or student loans. Oh wait, no, you don't want.
Well, I know. My student loans are paid off. My car is paid off.
Oh.
My world is great.
You're just twisting that knife.
And I get massages on Fridays, motherfuckers.
Alrighty.
No, my life is pretty sweet. Talk to me 15 years ago and tell me that my life is going to be like this. That was... Talk to welfare mom, Jenna. Hmm.
Question number two.
I sometimes do.
It's fair.
9 Inch Nails.
Okay.
Or Johnny Cash.
Oh, this might be a hurt question.
Yeah, like, I would have to go with Cash.
I would have to go to Cash on that one.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would rather have a pocket full of cash than a pocket full of nails.
Yeah.
But you can't easily do blockhead with just a pocket full of cash.
You bet?
No.
No, because you have a pocket full of cash, so...
You can roll up a bill.
This is a $20 bill.
Okay, I'll use a one. It's got less cocaine on it.
This is... Okay, wait.
But wouldn't the cocaine
This
be...
is a visual joke on an audio podcast.
Who said anything Becky about Schmidt. A joke?
No, but, okay, this is a visual thing on an audio
podcast. I just said it's easier.
Oh, my God. Well, you did this, James. You know this,
yeah.
Right? Like, this is legit your fault.
Okay.
I'm going to say I would... rather pay somebody to do something well than have to build it myself.
Ooh.
Yeah.
If it's a question of is the original always better or are there covers that supersede and eclipse the original.
I'm not watching because I will start sneezing, but you guys can.
Okay, all right.
All right, let's see.
So the dollar bill is going in.
Going in.
Okay, he's working the jaw a little bit.
Yeah.
He has to, because otherwise that seam is going to get in there. Yep. Okay.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Oh, thank God.
Some poor person somewhere is going to get that dollar bill in the future.
Yep.
I've done blockhead before, and I just sneeze all the time. Just like that. Only.
It's actually harder to do when you have a head cold.
Yeah,
I believe that.
Weird.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
This bill is all mucus.
So anyway.
Now.
So I think we're all on cash. We prefer cash.
I prefer
for
cash.
Snails. I mean, except for blockhead.
Except for blockhead.
As far as I know.
There. Yeah.
All right.
All right.
I'm
Salsa.
Really happy that happened.
I can tell.
Ooh.
No. No.
Godzilla.
Senpai.
Senpai!
Or Eric Thompson.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which one's nicer, Senpai? Which one has more skill and talent, Senpai? Which one is, I don't know, better looking, I guess, Senpai?
Mm.
I don't really look at him like that. Which one is a better human being, Senpai? Which one... Which one has a cooler nickname, Senpai? Which one? I'm just trying to find as many ways as I can to.
Which one's a better
Eric
writer,
Thompson.
Senpai?
Which one do I?
Oh, God.
Oh fuck. Oh. Somewhere, Eric just turned and was like, "The fuck you say?"
Just in the middle of a room, like.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, his wife is just like, "Honey."
No, she's not.
I don't know.
She's just like,
she's busy drinking Malort in a cup.
Oh, my God. Jess is just like, he's doing the thing again. Fucking whatever.
So,
I think we're all going with senpai.
I think I see senpai more often.
I see Eric more often.
Huh.
I'm going with Eric because Eric is part of Fearless Comedy and I'm the managing director, so I support my
member. So senpai is Stefan.
Yeah.
Stefan is senpai. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Stefan senpai.
That's why I kept talking about senpai being better than Eric Thompson, because he is.
Yeah.
You know.
Thank you.
I'm. Stefan has a unique set of skills.
Yeah.
Like Liam Neeson.
Yes. That fearless
but
needs.
For theater.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
That fearless needs. So.
Like, Eric Thompson can't be that good of a writer. I needed three to do Wilhelmina and Theodore.
I think you chose to do three.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. But no.
I will not come after you. Just put down the cable and let me wrap it.
Oh, God. Oh, fuck.
I know both of them as a result of Salsa.
I'm sorry?
You really
should be.
Seriously, what the
fuck? I know both of them because of Salsa, but I know Stefan because of this podcast. So I'm going to go with Stefan.
I have actually known Stefan longer.
Ah.
Because of Fest.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Just straight up.
Whereas I met Eric when he auditioned for Ville.
I think that's when I met Eric, too.
I've known Eric longer than I've known Stefan. But yeah, so I'm going with Eric. Yeah, he is more multifaceted.
Well, they're both multi-talented.
They really are.
But
Stefan's just not dumb enough to keep volunteering himself for shit.
True, he gets paid a lot of times. Yeah,
he does.
I love them both.
I'm actually going to go with Eric because I feel bad about the writing thing that I said earlier. He's a wonderful writer, or I wouldn't have hired him.
Oh, I wouldn't have said it if it wasn't something I
Stefan
knew he
is
could
a
handle.
Right.
Great Dane, and Eric is a corgi in man form.
Oh my god.
I'm not wrong
corgi
about this.
Corgi in man form, and that is accurate?
Yeah.
Shit.
I can't disagree with that comparison.
I'm going to have to go with Stefan because I see Stefan on at least a weekly basis.
I'm going to go with Eric.
Okay. Question number four.
Okay.
Treasure Island.
Oh.
Or A Christmas Carol.
Which Muppet movie is better?
Christmas Carol. Straight up.
Treasure is better than Christmas.
I mean.
But Muppet Christmas Carol's fucking amazing.
Christmas Carol is the second best Christmas movie next to Gremlins.
And Die Hard.
I like Die Hard. I'm never going to argue that it's not a Christmas movie, but my ranking goes Gremlins, Muppet Christmas Carol, Die Hard.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's just, yeah. Not getting into the is Die Hard a Christmas movie, because obviously it is.
It is. Yeah.
But it is. As far as favorites, it's Gremlins, Muppets, Die Hard.
Yeah.
I choose to interpret it without the Muppets, and I'm going Treasure is better than Christmas.
All right.
I treasure Christmas. That's not true. I used to. Oh, sad.
This is the point in the podcast where we will insert a flashback to like adorable Jenna childhood.
I'm not doing that.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, come on. This is where
right.
podcast.
Yeah, Christmas Carol.
Well, at least you'll cut this out so that the audience doesn't know that they're missing
I'm
anything.
I'm not doing that.
God damn it.
No, you guys, I'm leaving for Europe in like 3 days. My give a shit is so low right now.
All right. It's fine. Whatever. Be that way.
My boss is real happy with me right now.
Yep.
As well as your podcasters and your coworkers and everybody else.
Yep.
So anyway, Christmas Carol.
Question number five.
Hmm.
Malice or incompetence?
Incompetence.
Like a Hanlon's razor kind of thing?
I when somebody does something out of malice, it is way worse than if they do it out of incompetence.
Nope.
In my opinion.
I have had worse things done to me out of incompetence than malice, because at least malice you can see coming.
Oh.
Incompetence has hurt me more in more subtle and devastating ways.
Interesting.
Let's just push this out to production. Hey.
Oh, fuck.
Fuck. Shit.
No, I just had flashbacks from earlier today. I'm good. Good.
Never publish anything on Friday. Never send anything.
No.
Especially not a car?
We used to do that. I don't know why.
A previous application I did, I did do the late night Friday into Saturday mornings.
Mm.
Specifically because that was probably one of the only times that nobody was going to be checking their medical claims. So,
Yeah.
It's very unlikely. So, yeah, we were able to, if we fuck something up, roll it back. But,
yeah.
Yeah,
malice.
I'm going to go with the C.S. Lewis reasoning on it, that, like, the robber baron must be sated and will sleep at times, but people who do shit because they think it's for your own good, ever vigilant. Yeah.
Oh, my God, those people.
Yep.
Yep, that's, yeah.
That fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
All right.
Nightmare.
All right. We open up this second email from Denny Zastera.
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 Zastera. Zastera.
Zastera. All right. The context. If someone asks you if you're a contrarian by nature, is there any answer that isn't no? While you're fighting that out, I just need to put some text before the context of the Fast Five I've submitted. Here it is. Question number one, Tuesday or Friday? Which are you feeling which are you feeling more hungry for right now? Tacos, Tuesday.
Ooh.
Or stir fry, Friday.
Friday. Stir Friday.
I was
stir
actually Friday. Closer than I thought I was. I had tacos today, and I'm going with tacos.
It's a Tuesday.
Just fucking tacos.
Yeah.
I'm off of my diet for the season, and
that's right.
I like stir fry.
I'm gonna get just a mess of fucking tacos. Oh tacos. My god.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Taco cat.
Yeah, I can never. Tacos are always.
Yeah.
Tacos are always.
Tacos. Are yes.
Tacos are yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Question number two. Nine Inch Nails or Johnny Cash?
Yep.
Who would you rather see live in concert in the late 90s?
Fuck.
In the late 90s, I would have gone to see Nine Inch Nails.
A point of clarification.
Yes.
Is it who would you, as a person in the late 90s, would rather go and see, like, as you were in late 90s, or who would you now rather see from the late
90s? If you were transported back in time.
That seems like the correct
answer. So me as I am right now, transported back into the 90s.
You as you are right now.
Yeah.
Are Cash. In the late 90s.
Yep. Cash.
Cash.
I still have the opportunity to see Nine Inch Nails.
Cash is more iconic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
They did a spoof film of him. They haven't done a spoof film of Nine Inch Nails. So, you know.
No, but.
No, if it was, who would I go see as me in the 90s, as the person I was in the 90s? It would straight up be Nine Inch Nails. Because I was young and naive.
I think my answers are reversed.
You're weird.
I'm just thinking of the David Bowie song "I'm Afraid of Americans," where for the music video, the American that he is scared of and running away from is Trent Reznor. I feel like he's got a sense of humor that is underappreciated.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
Like he's Weird Al of music.
And I feel like Johnny Cash, as a person, is problematic.
I actually don't know him as a person, and I don't know much about him as a person.
I mean, other than the drug use and the womanizing, and
he wasn't necessarily the best person.
He wasn't the nicest person, no.
I'm not there to meet him. I'm there to listen to his music.
I mean, James Brown was the nicest person either.
Whoa. Yeah. Right. I mean, we're starting to get into, though, if you buy a ticket, are you
blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I'm so not here for that conversation.
Yeah.
I feel like if this
I've been having that conversation every other fucking day this year. I'm tired of it.
I think if the question was Nine Inch Nails in the 90s or Johnny Cash in the 70s, I would have done Johnny Cash.
That makes sense.
But if both of them are in the 90s, I think that is Nine Inch Nails, like, peak. Hmm.
That's more reasoning that I can appreciate.
Yeah.
Because late 90s was after his big heyday and before his resurgence, I feel.
Hmm.
And Nine Inch Nails was
at the peak.
Hitting on all cylinders.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to have said that I saw either of them, but I'm going to go with Nine Inch Nails in this case.
Okay. Question number three.
Yes.
Senpai or Eric Thompson?
Curse, there's the French.
Who would you rather find yourself broke down on the side of the road, miles from civilization?
Fuck. These are both really good answers.
I feel like Stefan would be handier. Like, I'm sure he's got, like, gaff tape in the back that he That's can rig something with.
Yeah.
Like, he's...
He's got some engineering skills there.
And I'm not saying that Eric is completely useless in this situation. No. I just feel like Senpai would be more useful.
I built a set piece with Eric, so I know he's handy and I know he can do stuff. So
the question is, do I want this to be a buddy cop movie with Stefan? Because although he and I are friends, like, our personalities are pretty different. He's much more serious than I am. I know. Or do I want it to be a Road to movie? Bing Crosby, Bob Hope style with Eric Thompson. And... Oh, fuck.
I just want to get it fixed and get the fuck out, so I'm going with Senpai. Like,
for the story, I got to go with Eric Thompson.
I think I agree with
And James. If it was a story thing, sure.
I think I agree with James on this one.
Because he and I would do like a whole... stage show.
Oh, shenanigans will happen.
That.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
I got shit to get back to, you guys. I don't have time for shenanigans.
So then we jumped on the train car.
Shenanigans are life. It's the purpose of living.
So we tried to jump on that train car.
Shenanigans. Shenanigans. That was how I lost the first leg. The point.
I do love the word shenaniganery. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a pretty good word. I'm not going to lie.
I mean,
but right now, I got too much shit to do.
Like, if I want to be back on the road and with us on our way to our destination almost immediately, I feel like Stefan has the kind of ruthless enthusiasm and efficiency.
And just innate ability. Yeah. Like, I don't know that he would even need to rig anything. He would just look at it and it would be like, I'm an electrical gadget. I work now.
No, okay, cool. Stefan has fear, like, surprise, a ruthless efficiency, and almost fanatical devotion to the pope.
The distributor wasn't working, so I've hooked it up to this light board, and as long as I keep twiddling my fingers, the car will run.
He's got a particular set of skills, as I mentioned earlier.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I obviously no disrespect at all to Senpai, but I want the shenanigans.
Yeah.
I want the crazy roadside improvisation as we, you know, wave at passing cars in some ridiculous way.
So, see, the thing is, I think, you know, if we're like on a desert road, you know, I think Stefan can get to that level of improv and comedy with enough dehydration.
I've seen him that tired. He did play genital jousting with us.
Oh, God.
Jesus. He's a funny guy. He is.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely is.
He super is.
But
he reminds me of Justin in some ways.
Yeah.
Oh, like
they're both
yeah.
kind of like
pretty laid
serious,
back.
Serious, laid back, kind of whatever.
Very wry.
Very deadpan.
Yeah.
Then they say something and you're like, wait, what?
Like, if I want it to be an adventure, then it's Stefan Senpai. If I want it to be a fucking caper, it has to be Eric Thompson. So I'm going to go I'm going to go with Eric Thompson.
Right. Question four. Treasure Island or A Christmas Carol? Which story is more interesting to you?
Oh.
That's clearly Treasure Island is that one. It's got pirates and fucking treasure and Black Spot and the other one's got ghosts and morality.
I fucking love ghosts and morality. Yeah. You shut your whore mouth.
See, I was always really
but it doesn't
Ace
have
Fables.
Pirates.
No, but it does have a rat popsicle, so...
Well, there's that.
Yep.
Muppet Christmas Carol pirates. Has a ratsicle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go with that because I like Aesop's Fables. And morality stories are definitely in my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Also, it could absolutely have a pirate in it, depending on how you play Marley.
Yeah.
Okay.
These are the chains I forged in life, yarr. They're dragging me down.
Christmas Carol has a special place in my heart because I've been in several different types of productions.
Yeah.
Not the least of which is Klingon Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a hell of a story.
And that's what I was going to bring up is Klingon Christmas Carol.
But we're not talking about adaptations here. We're talking about
stories.
We're talking about
the story.
I'm just saying.
They didn't ask.
One of them ends with fucking Pollyanna-ish, like, oh, I'm so happy now. And one of them is like fucking pirates.
One of them begins, middles, and ends with pirates.
Yes!
Which is compelling.
Exactly. Thank you.
But...
begins with the Black Spot.
But there's way more of a character arc in Christmas Carol.
Towards
I
a boring
love,
man.
I love a character arc.
Now I wish that Terry Pratchett had redone A Christmas Carol. What? Well, I guess he did. Okay, for some reason, I didn't connect Hogfather. Hogfather... Christmas Carol.
God.
It's Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol.
All day.
Yep.
Sorry, Salsa.
Because I was like, the ghost of Christmas Yet to Come should definitely
be
Terry Pratchett's death.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was.
All right.
Yeah.
Question number five. Malice or incompetent?
Incompetent.
How did the last person to really irritate or anger you do so?
Yep.
Through their incompetence or sheer malice?
Incompetence.
Malice.
I can respect malice. I don't like it, but I can respect it. Hmm. Incompetence, though, like... figure your shit out.
Does being
be
4 years old count as malice or incompetence?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, that's how four is. That's all of the above.
You know?
I would say more malice, because at that point you're just, like, rampant id.
Mm. It was malice. I'm such a people pleasing person. If you haven't noticed, you know,
No.
I think actually, I'm like, okay. When was the last time I was truly angry? Like really, really, really fucking angry. Oh, Jim was there for that.
Yes,
that was incompetence. So yeah.
Oh yeah, that was
a malice. That
I froze. I literally froze. Like if I stay here and don't move, Jenna can't see me. I'm not going to be
in
a wrath.
Where'd you go?
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
I was deer. Like
that was the last time I was exceptionally angry.
Mm-hmm.
I freaked out Jim and mm-hmm. just by looking at him.
Yeah.
Or in his direction.
Yeah.
I don't exist.
And it was purely because of somebody's incompetence. Mm-hmm. They just did not know better. Mm. But
I've got to say this is going to be work related. The people that really irritate or anger me, and it's 99.9% of the time incompetence.
Yeah.
Does hard right racist grossness count as incompetence or malice?
That's an intent thing. That's
a malice. I would say malice there.
I don't know that you can just need
like sharing shitty Facebook
that's
memes.
Malice.
I don't know that I agree with that. I think some people are just that fucking stupid.
That it could be incompetent.
Okay. Yeah. That was like, the last thing where I was just like, and no.
I'm trying to remember the comedian that talked about people, or actually it was some Fearless member. Why can I not remember his name? Past marketing director.
Brain injuries.
Yes.
Garrick?
Garrick. Oh. He did a stand-up routine, and he talked about how people in America, when they use the word make America great again, actually really want is make America simple again.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Because they would rather not know these things. They would rather not have the knowledge. Mm. And I think there's some truth.
Ignorance is bliss. Yeah.
Ignorance is bliss. And so, I think that goes to that.
I also think some of it is are they being a troll? Are they trying to incite? Mm-hmm. Or are they just... do they just think that what they're saying is like you said?
Yeah.
You know, just truly, honestly believe it? Or are they trying to get a rise out of those snowflakes?
And honestly, I think so much of it is just not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
I think so much of it is ignorance.
Fair.
And it's easy to ascribe malice to something because then it's easier to hate on it.
Yeah.
Than it is to actually try to educate or figure it out or whatever.
So it's incompetence or ignorance, then they're still human beings.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's really easier to go the dichotomous man or monster type thing, but at the end of the day...
Men are monsters.
Right.
Because there are people...
there is no or.
You know,
all of the above.
One of the things I learned with my master's work in human relations was that people believe that other people view the world the same way you do. They do. You know, they think that you see things the same way I do, James, but that's not necessarily the case.
So how could you not come to the same conclusions unless you're an asshole?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things I've learned is you have to work through all of that stuff. And I could spend another 2 hours talking about this, but we're not going to do that.
No.
No.
That's going to be your Die Laughing lecture series.
All right.
All right. Yep. Maybe. No, you said it.
I'll go the number of incompetence.
Die Laughing shows that have started right here on this podcast.
Oh, God.
But like it's not really that funny.
You
that's
know, the
trouble.
Ones that you've,
well, that's
yet.
You can make it funny. Yet. Yet.
Yet.
Dealing
yet.
With the alt right.
Yeah, don't give it away for free.
Funny.
Yeah.
Yet.
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 Come on, challenge time.
Yet?
Are you fearless?
Oh, fuck.
Gauntlet is thrown.
Let me step back out of that.
I've done some very fearless things on that stage
that
for Die Laughing.
That is very
tequila.
True.
I danced around in a Princess Leia costume because of something that was said on this podcast.
Pee Wee Herman, tequila
I mean,
by the chance.
That's how you interpreted it, but yeah.
Belly dancing.
Yep.
Yes.
T-Rex Inception.
Dennis, that was good.
God.
Dennis wraps this up by saying, did you think of... Hurt or Muppets?
Yeah.
And we absolutely did.
Yeah,
we did.
And I actively tried not to, and I was the right one.
Yeah.
Mm.
They know us so well.
It's true.
It's like they listen to you guys, like, all the time.
I don't know why. Who's got a shout-out?
I had one, and then I lost it.
So I'm going to give my shout-out to my brother and sister, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, for... being just troopers with us this weekend as we didn't have a vehicle to haul up the camper, and they did that, and then dealing with the children's, and they took everything in stride and never complained, and they were marvelous, and they were so much fun, and then they took the kids out in their canoe and had just a marvelous time, and they're the best people in the world, and I love you both so much.
Yay. I'm going to give my shout out to my stage manager, Jada. Because I sat down with her over the weekend, and she just helped me brain through everything that needed to happen and in what priority and in what order. And I always say this, whenever I do a production, the stage manager makes the most because they work their fucking asses off and rarely get any credit. So yeah, my shout out goes to Jada.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to give a shout out to the LAN party members from this last LAN, many of whom stuck around afterward to help us clean up It's usually like a fucking 3 to 4 day process to get all the dishes done, move all the furniture back, do all the vacuuming and all of that shit. Many hands make light work. Mm. So after doing this for like 2 or 3 years, we were finally like, hey, guys. And they were like, oh, oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And now we got it all done in a matter of 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. My shout out is to anybody that has recently or is going to be taking a vacation, because you need to recharge your batteries.
I don't understand.
You need to recharge your batteries.
I don't understand.
Well, that's a
He's
whole nother podcast.
He's also doing a 2-hour lecture and oh, okay. laughing about this.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Maybe. Might be at a company meeting instead. But,
I don't understand.
But yes. So, I mean, you need to...
I legitimately looked for bookings to be fit when I was over there.
Yeah. Nice. But to, you know, the thing is that, you know, one of my sayings is to live life each and every day, because it's important. And, you know, we get so much caught into doing the same thing over and over again day after day. You need to stop and take time to go do things, enjoy things, see things, make notches off that bucket list. Be fearless about it.
Hey. Yay.
He said the thing!
He said the title of the show.
He said it again! All right.
Oh, I understand.
It?
Y'all got something to plug?
Wilhelmina and Theodore's Exquisite Victorian Adventure, this Minnesota Fringe Festival. Fringe starts August 1st, and boy howdy, so does Wilhelmina and Theodore. We are playing at Theater in the Round, so there's
at
5
7 p.m. that day.
On the 1st, yeah. Yes. I don't want to do that because I don't want to confuse people. There are 4 other shows after that.
Yes, there
that.
Are.
Woo. So go to fringefestival.org, look up Wilhelmina and Theodore's Exquisite Victorian Adventure, and get some tickets.
Another thing I want to mention is this coming Wednesday, not tomorrow, but the week from now, the 24th, is the 2nd of the 4 Murder on the Mississippi.
Yes. So fucking good.
I've heard amazing things about this year's show. I mean, all the years' shows are always really good, but there's 4 shows this year. More opportunities to see it. See it. Do it. Go see it. It's this coming Wednesday. It is at 7 p.m. That is when the boat leaves the dock, so get there a little early, but go get tickets.
Yeah, I think they might even be sold out for July and August, but September has tickets left.
There are
they really? Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
I was going to go to the August one.
Not unless you already have tickets.
Yeah. I already have tickets for that.
Uh-oh. I better go do that.
Okay.
All right. So, I too am in a Fringe show. I know, like gasp. Written and directed by Fearless members.
I forgot I have another Fringe show.
Yeah.
God damn it. I was just stuck on Fearless.
If you'd like to see the preview of it, we will be appearing in the Monday the 22nd Fringe preview. Look for Renaissance of the Dead, which is everything that the title offers. So, yeah.
Yeah, and then the other show that I have is The Bisexual Unicorn and Other Mythological Creatures, which is performing for the Minnesota Fringe Festival at the same venue, Theater in the Round.
Ooh.
So just go hang out at Theater in the Round, this Fringe, and see my shows. Also, one more thing I did want to plug. This Friday, for Off Book, Off Book Improv, where there is one person that is on script and one improviser. The two of them are having a conversation. The scripted person is saying the scripted lines, and the improviser doesn't know what the fuck is going on and has to improvise the other half of the conversation. Anyway, for this Friday and next Friday, they are doing pieces of Fringe shows.
Oh, shit.
And Wilhelmina and Theodore's was selected.
Ooh.
For this Friday. So, this Friday, 8 o'clock at Huge, go see Off Book. I mean, you should see Off Book anyway, because it's just a fantastic concept, and it always plays out super well. But you should extra go to the one this Friday, because you will get the most entertaining preview you have ever gotten for any show ever.
Fair. Mm.
Yeah. So.
So on the 23rd, we have a fundraiser for Huge at Honey in Minneapolis, 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. We're trying to raise, I believe the goal is $1,000 that night to go towards Huge's capital fund.
Ooh.
Yeah. So if you're not doing anything, it's what, Tuesday the 23rd, so a week from today, head on down to Honey, 7, I think, until whenever. Because, you know, we'll just stay there until we get $1,000, so hey. Or they pay us $1,000 to give them. But no, I don't think Honey works that way. All right. No. But
just compliment each other for 2 hours while Jim gives a speech on complimenting.
Sounds good.
Yeah. I'm in.
I'm in.
All right. All right.
Anything else?
Nope, I don't think so.
Nope,
so,
I don't think so.
In that case, thank you so very much.
Oh, fuck, I do have one more thing.
Do it.
So, KFAI, Fresh Air Radio, has a radio show called Fresh Fruit, which is queer things happening in the cities, queer-focused stuff. And the bisexual unicorn and other mythological creatures will have a representative, Mr. Ooh. Brian Watson Jones, will be on that show.
Awesome.
To talk about our gay circus. So so yeah, listen to Fresh Fruit on KFAI Fresh Air Radio this week. I don't remember what time it is.
We'll find out and put it in the notes.
Yeah, maybe. I'll try to look that up.
All right.
But yeah, KFAI, Fresh Air Radio.
Fresh Air.
I know. Or Fresh Fruits. KFAI, Fresh Air Radio. Yeah. Fresh.
It's also with the Hollywood.
Fruit. KFAI. This is not. Okay. Oh, Fresh Fruit, the longest-running weekly queer radio show, has been live on KFAI Fresh Air Radio since May 11th, 1978. The show's older than I am. But it's still not telling me what time I can go look at it. Fuck, come on. Come on, buddy. Stalling. Stalling for time. Somebody else say something entertaining.
Bump, bump, ba-da-bump, ba-dum-bump, bump, bump, ba-da-bump, ba-dum-bump, bump, bump.
Where is Eric Knight? Anyways.
I don't care. Thursday, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Ah, Thursday.
Right.
7 p.m. to 8 p.m.
On KFAI at Fresh Air Radio, 90.3 FM or 106.7 FM.
Ah.
Minneapolis, St. Paul, or I'm sure you can find them online somewhere. Okay, that's all I've got, I think. Kay. I hope. I don't know what I'm doing anymore, you guys.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, thank you so very much for listening, everyone. Thank you to Jim for being our guest.
Thank you,
thank you for having me.
For their Fest 5.
What?
Thank you to Dennis for their Fest 5.
I was getting there.
God, rude, James.
Seriously. We were still out giving accolades to Jim, and you trampled all over that.
Zestera!
Zestera! Zestera! Zestera! Zestera!
Anyway, thank you to Jim!
Thank you to Jim!
Yay.
Thank you to me. All right.
Thank you to Dennis for the Fast Five.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you to everybody for listening.
And on behalf of myself and James and Jenna, thank you so very much for listening. Eat the fucking cake.
I love you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Take it away, Salsa.
Cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.